I'm Steve Potter. This is Cityscape, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom. St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCullough released a two-page statement today urging the public to have faith in the grand jury process. In the statement, he indicated that the grand jury is still hearing evidence. He also said the public should not prejudge the case based on media reports and bits of information. Several area businesses are holding a symposium tomorrow to discuss the challenges facing the garment industry and maintaining human rights throughout the entire supply chain. The event will explore possible solutions for companies relating to child labor, human trafficking, worker safety, and responsible sourcing. And the Page Avenue Extension is officially opening this weekend after decades of debate and planning. The cost was $118.2 million. The highway, also known as Route 364, connects St. Louis and St. Charles counties and was the subject of much controversy from environmentalists and urban planners. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website, stlpublicradio.org. Coming up later on the program, Barbara Harbach and Kathleen Nigro will join us to preview this year's Women in the Arts Conference as well as some related events. Playwright Tennessee Williams is known for such work as The Glass Menagerie, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and A Streetcar Named Desire. You most likely have never heard of Stairs to the Roof, but that little-known work will be staged at what was the St. Louis Artists Guild on Union Avenue, a place that Williams was not unfamiliar with during the years that he lived here. And here to tell that story, Carrie Houck of Sudden View Productions, and from Abramsaw Mayer Productions, Marcel Mayer. Hello to you both.
Hi.
Hi, Steve. It's good to see you,
nice
as always.
Carrie, is it fair to say that you don't think that Tennessee Williams' connection to St. Louis is being exploited, and I mean that in a very positive way, mm-hmm. as much as it should be?
Oh, I think it's long overdue for the city to recognize the influence that his years here had on much of his work. And this is a dream for me. He's my favorite playwright since I was a child. I love all of his work. I think he's really under-recognized in our town.
And you've got a personal story I want to ask you about. Marcel, could you give us a little background on both you and your partner and the connection? Because you have a long connection with the work of Tennessee Williams.
Yes, we're an independent classical theater company from Cape Town, South Africa. And our mission back home is to keep the classics alive. So we do quite a lot of Shakespeare. And after Shakespeare, we feel one of the greatest playwrights in the world is probably Tennessee Williams. So we've been doing quite a bit of his lesser-known works. And over the last 3 years, we've started a relationship with a Provincetown Tennessee Williams Theatre Festival here in the States. We've brought productions over from South Africa. And that's actually how we got involved with Carrie, because Carrie met David Kaplan, who is the curator of the Provincetown Festival, at the New Orleans Tennessee Williams Festival.
Last March.
And that's how we all got connected. So from Provincetown, where Williams wrote, to St. Louis, where he lived, all the way back home to Cape Town, South Africa, where his plays are greatly respected and admired, it's sort of all come together, which
very
is very
serendipitously. I think if I had not gone back to meet the director of that play in New Orleans, I would have never found out about Fred and Marcel, and the rest is history, or hopefully will be.
Speaking of history, let's talk about your history. Where I'm going with on that is you actually met Tennessee Williams and had some interaction with him. Tell me that story.
I did. I was dating an actor in my youth in New York, and he was in a production of The Country Girl with Maureen Stapleton and Jason Robards and George Grizzard. He had a very teeny tiny part, but I was invited to opening night, and then we got to go to the after party, which Tennessee Williams hosted because Maureen Stapleton was his very good friend. And we were seated at the main table, and I had him right to my left. I can still feel him there. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of anybody else I would have rather met other than maybe Abraham Lincoln. I mean, it was just the thrill of my life. And we talked. My aunt and uncle had known him in Tangier. My Aunt Zoe had a bar there, and he was a frequent guest. And my Uncle Norman knew him as well. So we had that in common and, chatted. He was a little tipsy, of course. It was later. Well, it was like 1974, I think. And I got to dance with him.
Oh, wow.
And that was...
So did that experience that you had have anything to do with your interest in bringing this work to life here in St. Louis?
Well, I've always loved his work. I mean, prior to that, I was a theater student then, and I guess I'm slightly obsessed with his work. It speaks to me on so many levels, and I think to all humanity, really. And doing this here in the town where I was born, the town that I love, is a dream.
Well, what can you tell me? What can you tell me about his time here, or the time that he wrote this play, and why was it only produced once, and that was back in the 1940s? What do you know about that?
Williams, the play was written as a response to after he went to university and he failed his military section of the university. His father pulled him out of university because he was very angry and forced him to work at the shoe factory.
Because his father was an executive at the International Shoe.
And Williams was very unhappy there, and he touches on it in Glass Menagerie as well, but especially in this play, it's his big response to, he actually dedicates the play to his colleagues at the shoe factory, mm-hmm. one of which was called Stanley Kowalski, coincidentally.
Really?
And yes, that's where he got the name from. And it's, I think, his love letter or Valentine to St. Louis, because the main character is the Williams alter ego, this young poet trapped in this, in the play, it's a shirt factory.
Right.
And he's trying to escape, and he finds this little stairway to the roof where he goes out and he feeds the pigeons and he can breathe the fresh air, and it's about the liberation of the soul. And then one night he goes on this very exciting spree, this nocturnal dream of St. Louis into Forest Park. They free the foxes in the zoo. They see a Mama's Play performance. So St. Louis becomes this magical place by night. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these plays about St. Louis often take a very bleak look at the city, and Stairs to the Roof is this almost magic realism, fantastical dream of the city and how you can be liberated in the city and how you can liberate your soul. So it's such a wonderfully positive play, and it's a wonderful romantic comedy. It's very unlike
it's
a lot of
very
these other
unlike.
Plays.
Yeah, I usually think of very dysfunctional people in relationships when I think of Tennessee Williams plays, which
there are hints of that.
There
are hints of all the themes that he will explore later in the big plays, but it's truly his fantastic romantic comedy in the vein of the fantasy plays like Thornton Wilder's Skin of Our Teeth,
right.
or Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel. It's got a very magical, mystical element as well.
And it's a large cast, is it not?
It's a very large cast. After I read the play and fell in love with it, I thought, what a fantastic opportunity to include other arts organizations in this project. So I applied for an innovation grant with the Regional Arts Commission, hoping that the fact that there was going to be this huge artistic collaboration would win the day, and it did. And I've been working with, there's a carnival element. So when David Balding was alive, my dear friend from Circus Flora, who we lost this year, he loved the play. He actually wanted us to do it in the Circus Flora tent. But he advised, because we have an aerialist in the show, and Jack Marsh and Joel Emery from Circus Flora, Gene Dobbs Bradford has provided us with this amazing
Jazz St. Louis.
Jazz all-star kids who are just phenomenally talented, who have recorded original music by Henry Polkas. That's just gorgeous. We have dancers from St. Louis Ballet Company. And I've been advised, because this is my first theatrical production. As you know, I'm a casting director, and I produced a couple of films. But Rick Dildine, formerly of the St. Louis Shakespeare Festival, was a big mentor, and Kathy Sitzer from New Jewish, and Philip Bame from Upstream, my colleague there. So it's been just a marvelous weaving of, you know, artists in St. Louis who love this project.
Well, Carrie, producing a play that's a horse of a different color for you.
Yes.
Learning experience.
It's a big one. 16 cast members, a director and designer from South Africa. I don't go the easy way, do I, Steve?
That's Carrie Houck. We're also talking to Marcel Mayer about the Tennessee Williams play Stairs to the Roof, which is going to open on November the 7th and run through the 23rd. At the Bucat Club on North Union. Let's talk about the building for a minute, because this used to be the St. Louis Artists Guild. I don't know what it's been recently, but originally it was.
Mm-hmm.
And when Tennessee Williams was living here, I guess going to school at some point as a young man, he actually worked there, performed there?
He did. There was a space called the Little Theater, and he did some early plays there. He also did at the Learning Center, which was where the Mummers performed, which is in the Central West End, and hopefully one day we'll get to use that as a venue as well. It's wonderful, just the history. We have a bus tour on the day before our first matinee, led by Tom Mitchell from the University of Illinois, and he'll be going to all these different sites around town where he touched.
Marcel, talk about what you bring and you and your partner are bringing to this. Well, your partner, Fred, is directing.
He's directing.
And you're doing set design.
I'm doing the set and the costume design, and I've choreographed the ballet section of the play.
And the guy can act.
You want to talk a little bit about the cast?
Well, we have Peter Mayer, who's pretty well known here. Reginald Pierre, M. Pirot, who a lot of you know from the Fringe Festival. Julie Crump.
Playing Ben.
Paul Cherugino is our hero, and I'm telling you, his work is just stunning, just stunning. Bob Harvey, I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Is there a central character, per se?
Ben.
Yes, Ben, played by Paul.
Yes, Paul Cherugino.
He's the sort of Tennessee Williams alter ego.
Mm-hmm.
And then he meets a character called The Girl, which M. Pirot is playing, and she is, I'd say, loosely based on his sister Rose.
I would say very much so.
So she's there are hints of, if you know Glass Menagerie well, Laura, early shades of Blanche to a certain degree. So you can see him trying out. These are what the William Scott called the apprentice plays. They were the plays written before he became world famous with Glass Menagerie.
And even the character of Jim, the gentleman caller.
So they're all hints. Yeah. He's trying them out in this play, but in a very, very beautiful way. And it's a huge play because it takes place all over St. Louis. So it was a challenge to design this very big play for a wonderfully intimate space because there's scenes on the Washington U Quad. There's Forest Park. There's the zoo.
How did you portray all that on stage?
It's a very magical little set. So it's like a little old magic box, like a Victorian pop-up book almost. So little flats with sort of relief scenic elements of every scene will appear and disappear.
Fred was here in May for casting, and Marcel didn't get to come, but we took really good photographs of the facades of the buildings that are portrayed in the plays, and the set represents that in a just fantastical way. Very magical.
Why do you think this play was only produced once? Now, not all of his famous plays, of course, everyone loved. He had a lot of plays, though, that critics didn't really warm up to.
Mm-hmm. Which is a great pity because they're fantastic plays, the late plays. Because post-61, after the Night of the Iguana, the American press turned on him, which is very sad because a lot of the late plays, like Kingdom of Earth, like Milk Train, like Vukare, are incredibly moving plays, but the press just gave him such a hard time.
But they're being resurrected, Steve. And, I like a lot of the older ones. Our next venture will be producing four of the St. Louis one-acts, which are all older when they all take place here. And they're just marvelous. They're all different from each other. And I think they'll provide a fantastic evening of theater. We intend to do them on site in a building to be determined. We don't want to lose the momentum from Stairs to the Roof. So we're doing this little taster in March, and then next September, hopefully we're bringing a production of Milk Train that Fred and Marcel have mounted directly from Provincetown, and then the main festival will be in May of 2016, and it will be 4 days, and it will be theater and music and dance and visual art, educational panels.
Because there are Tennessee Williams festivals other places, aren't there not?
Well, yes, Provincetown is the big one. Mm-hmm. And New Orleans has a Williams Literary Festival every March. That's where I met David Kaplan from Provincetown, luckily. And I generally go to that, but it's not theater-centric, and ours will be primarily theater.
So is that something you hope to become an annual event?
Oh, definitely. It's happening.
Well, it's surprising it hasn't yet.
Well, now it
is.
Here we go.
Yeah. Do you want to talk any more about a little bit about the plot line to Stairs to the Roof? Do you want to tease us with anything?
First of all, it's history in the making because it is the first professional revival of this play in the USA. There have been two student productions, and there was the original production at the Pasadena Palace in the 40s, and there's been one professional production in London in the early 2000s. So you're going to see history in the making by this.
It's an expensive play to produce, so that answers your question as to why. Well, the
cast
is so
large. He wrote it as what he was hoping to be his first hit on Broadway, and he was inspired by the spectacles he had seen at the Muni growing up in St. Louis. So it's an enormous cast of characters and dancers and Because they go on this fantastical journey. They see a Mama's Play performance. They go to a carnival. They go to the zoo. So there are all these little vignettes with characters they meet throughout the play. So it's a huge cast. He does call for music. He calls for a fantastical sort of heaven sequence at the end of the play. So it's a wonderful experience for audiences to see. And he's already, in these early plays, his visual sense of theatre of... I think that's what makes William so exciting, because mm-hmm. he really understood mm-hmm. theatre as a whole, not just words on a page, but he understood... because he mentions color costumes and how he sees scenery, and that he always wants theater to be as theatrical as possible. And I think this play is probably one of his most theatrical plays.
Yes,
so it's an absolute
is.
Treat for the audience.
People always talk about how his own relationships, I guess family, and would it be fair to call his family dysfunctional, how those characters are reflected in his work. Would that be true for this?
Absolutely.
As well?
Absolutely. In fact, he's striving to get away from that dysfunction. That's the big through line in the play, going to a more hopeful place where he can be him
now,
and not cut out of a mold.
I'm not familiar with the play at all, obviously, but does it have a surprise ending?
Yes.
Yeah. a very big surprise.
Without spoiling it, what can you say?
It's a surprise.
Oh, come on.
It's a very moving ending to the play, and
yes,
a very hopeful ending to the play. Henry has written the most exquisite
finale
music for it. And as a teaser, I'd say if you know Carousel quite well, it's very similar to sort of the hopeful ending of Rodgers and Hammerstein's
And
Carousel.
There'll be points that you laugh out loud, because I usually don't associate that with Tennessee Williams.
Oh, definitely. It's, Marcel and I sat in an early run through couple of weeks ago. It was, they had only been working for 5 days, and choking with laughter. And there are a few tears to be shed along the way as well.
That's
and it's a very thoughtful and philosophical on top of it all.
Sudden View Productions presents Tennessee Williams' Stairs to the Roof. It's going to open Friday, November the 7th, and run through the 23rd. I think you're having a preview night on the 6th,
we
right?
are.
On Thursday.
It's a little lower ticket price.
And if you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to the website for that. And it's at the Boo Cat Club, which is a new club. Is this the first
this is the opening production.
Yes. Putting on?
Yes.
And that's at 812 North Union Boulevard. It's right there by Union Boulevard.
It's a breath
Boulevard
from
Church.
Forest Park. It's 1 minute from Forest Park.
And across the road from the Union Avenue Opera.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. And we have all sorts of fun activities opening weekend as well. We have a wonderful panel Sunday after the matinee. We have a bus tour, but unfortunately it's filled. And Saturday night we have a little mixer at Bar Italia afterward.
That's Carrie Houck. We've also been talking to Marcel Mayer. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Really an exciting event. And it's Halloween, so in the few seconds we have left before we go, are there any costumes in your future later today?
I just always pop the witch hat on because, I'm always in black.
That's
so it's pretty
easy. That's the old standby.
Or a cat mask.
I'm costumed out because I've had to dress over 40 characters in this play. Incredible costumes.
Marcel, Carrie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Cityscape, Women in the Arts. This is St. Louis Public Radio.